listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from God who comes to us in peace. Amen. Ugh. So I guess we're supposed to love our enemies this week. I caught myself saying that to Marie Bakke in the office as I looked over this text early on in the week. Ugh, I guess we gotta love our enemies this week. Anyone else feeling the burden of this? How are you doing at loving your enemies? I mean, I prefer to do exactly the opposite. I prefer to hate my enemies, either that or just be indifferent to them. As the Holocaust survivor and Nobel Peace Prize recipient Elie Wiesel said, the opposite of love is not hate, but indifference. Have you heard that quote? Powerful. Yeah, those. That's what I prefer to do. Either just hate them or just ignore them or not pay any attention to them. Definitely not love them. How are you doing with this? And then just to pile it on, we have this text that Kate read earlier. Just to pile it on, we're reminded that enemies are not just some people far away or even in our own neighborhood that we just don't really like that much or even hate a little bit. With this first lesson about Joseph and his brothers, do you remember that text? That great text in Genesis, that story of Joseph who was sold into slavery by his brothers who were jealous of him. We didn't hear all that, but we caught the end of this powerful story. It's probably the best sort of actual reconciliation story in the whole Bible. That these brothers that had wronged him and sold him into slavery. And Joseph was a brat, let's be honest. It was just brokenness all around. And then here at the end, they reconcile, they come back together. There's weeping, there's embracing. Somehow God was working in the middle of all that. This wonderful story. And so we're reminded that it's not just people far away who can be our enemies. Sometimes it can be people in our own family, people that we're close to. Family members, ex-friends or ex-lovers or ex-partners or co-workers, people that we see all the time and live with and live around, these can be the hardest to love. Maybe enemies isn't the right word for it, for what Jesus is getting at here. They can be the hardest to love because there's so much history there. There's deep pain there. There's stories, hurtful stories. It's not just a faceless body with a weapon from another part of the world. It's a face that might even look similar to your face. Maybe it's someone with an apron on or holding a briefcase or an iPhone or a remote control under your own roof or under a roof that you're familiar with. You've been visiting that person for decades and decades. Ugh, I guess we're supposed to love them. Forgive them, Jesus says. Be kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. What? How? I'll remind you again, like last week. Jesus is not just talking to anybody here. Jesus is talking to his people. He's talking to his disciples. If Jesus was talking to just anybody, this would seem really disconnected. It would seem this onerous burden, even impossible task. To love your enemies. Now, Jesus, again, is talking to those who have already heard and already seen. And friends in Christ, that's us. We are a people who have already heard and already seen. And so, this is actually possible. This can be done. We are capable of loving our enemies. We are insiders. We are the ones who gather around this word. I was kind of hoping for a smaller crowd this morning. I mean, this is a crazy message. Why are people coming out to hear this? Love your enemies, and yet this can be done. With this love is liberation. Loving your enemies. You heard these stories about people forgiving some of the most atrocious things and say, oh, how did they do that? And they say, well, there was just no more room in my heart for hate. People forgive their children's murderers. You heard of these stories? They say, there's just no more room in my heart for hate. I can't do anything else but forgive, but let this go. With love is liberation. How many of you have ever let go of a grievance during the sharing of the peace in church on just a regular old Sunday morning like this? Have you ever had that experience? I don't usually do it. I prefer to be friends with my grievances and my bitternesses. I mean, it's hard to let go of those things, but every once in a while, there's one of these days sharing the peace on a Sunday morning. You know, it's kind of turned into, I think, in our churches, into sort of the intermission, you know, it's like the seventh inning stretch. After a long sermon, maybe some long prayers and some long hymns, it's just a chance to stretch a little bit, chit-chat with folks, go around, say hi to everybody. I mean, I love this. I love the seventh inning stretch. I love the sharing of the peace for this reason. It's kind of light. Some churches make a point to get to every single person in the congregation. I don't know if that's been your practice or anything. Chance to check up. Hey, did you get my email this week? Hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you for a little while. How's everything going? I had this worship professor that hated that. He was so pious about this. He'd tell us what the sharing of the peace was really about. But I think of it often. We'll do this again today. The peace of Christ be with you. There is so much happening in there. It's not just a quick hello and good to see you. It's the end of war, he would point out. Not just with the person you're greeting. This worship professor, he encouraged us to just shake hands with the few people around you because it's the symbol. You know, two or three is fine. Maybe six. Just the folks that are immediately around you. He hated how people would go all over the place and chat with everybody. I love that. But he would go on and on about this. That's the time before worship and after worship. And during the week, and frankly, if we're not checking in on each other and seeing how everybody's doing, we got big problems, right? It's not just a chance on Sunday morning during the sharing of the peace to do this, he would point out. Dig in, talk, care for one another, he said. But in the sharing of the peace, this is the end of war. Just a symbol of shaking a couple hands. This is walls coming down. This is hatred and bitterness and anger melting away like the snow did this week. This is peace spreading across the church and across our bodies and across the world like a blanket. This is a powerful symbol. And I do kind of avoid that just by trying to catch as many people as I can, check up on a few things, check some things off my list. During the sharing of the peace, it may be my favorite and least favorite moment of the entire worship service, to be honest with you, at the very same time. Because I prefer to hang on to my grudges and my bitternesses. They're like old friends, people who have wronged me. They should pay for that, right? They should not be forgiven. But friends, remember, this instruction that we have before us today is for those who have already seen and already heard of Jesus and his love. This is the advanced class, Christians. This is the 401 class. This is part of a much larger sermon, the one that started with, "Blessed are you who are poor," remember. Blessed are those who live their lives as a celebration of divine mercy. That's a strange thing. What does a life lived in celebration of God's divine love, mercy, and forgiveness look like? What if you went out this week and said, I'm going to live my life this week as a celebration of God's divine love, mercy, and forgiveness? What might look different? What would sound different from the things that you would say? Would people notice that you've come in contact with something really strange? Because frankly, you have. This is a strange, challenging message. This is not normal today. Feel free to walk out at any time. In fact, I'm amazed. We have so many Christians in the world. We are called to love our enemies. We live in a world that punishes enemies, not reconciles them and forgives them. We live in a world that rewards good behavior and shames bad. At least that's what our cultures say and tend to think. I mean, how many of us want to see Donald Trump go down? Or how many relished Hillary Clinton looking like a deer in the headlights when she messed up and then lost? We don't love our enemies, we despise them. We wish them the worst. Our blood boils when they don't get what they deserve. And we throw parties when they do. And yet here Jesus is, talking to us, talking to his disciples about reflecting love divine. Friends, this is another tough one. Welcome again to the year of Luke. Welcome again to the year of healing. Welcome to a year of taking stock, slowing down. Think of that rubber band, gathering ourselves, really. That's that rubber band coming together, gathering ourselves, sticking together in faith. And one other thing, praying. We can't do this love your enemies business without prayer. We can't. We can't do it. God's got to get in there with us. Mix with us. What did the text say today? This strange line. I have no idea what it means. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Sounds like a cocktail or something. God's got to get in there and mix with us as we pray. Give us the strength. This is not for the lighthearted. Give us the strength to forgive, to love our enemies. And God does, friends in Christ. God does. God is with us in this mix, in this task. God has always been with us. And prayer is just this intentional inviting God into, God's already here. It becomes intentional on our part when we start to pray. Help us. Yes, we are the ones who bear witness to this love. We are the ones who have already heard and seen. We are the ones who have eaten and drunk Christ's body and blood, and we'll do it again today. We are the ones who have tasted. We know that this one, Jesus, blesses us in our weakness, picks us up in our brokenness, feeds us in our hungriest moments, forgives us when we are at our absolute worst, waits with us in our anger, and loves us despite it all. We know this, friends. We have tasted this bread. We have seen this body. We have heard this song. We have journeyed down this path. So this God is just reminding us again today. That's all. This is God showing up once more to call us back in a way to snap us out of our funks, to wake us up when our faithfulness starts to drift off a little bit, or maybe a lot. Oh yeah, we say together. That's really all we're saying today. That's right. That's right. That's what we're supposed to be about. You already know this, but help us, God. Help us, God, to live your love more fully, to ingest it even more deeply, and to share it more widely and more freely. For this is a cup that never runs dry. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. The Evangelical evangelical. That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.